Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. If you have any questions, I'll be sending out that number. I'll be giving it out to you just in a short while. We're just waiting to make sure that the number we have is actually the accurate number. If you are not sure about your child's placement and you are not clear, you can actually send an SMS. You can also go to the portal itself and check. Even if the SMS has not come to you, you can check for yourself, just you know, your ID numbers and so on. And please make sure that acceptance is gone through. As the MEC said, you've got about 7 days to actually do. You have to activate something. You've got to say, I'm accepting or provisionally accepting. You've got 14 days if you have provisionally accepted to do a final acceptance. If you don't do any of those, the department will then automatically place your child. So be part of this and be quite active when it comes to placing your child. So I'll give out that number in a short while, just so that in case you still have some questions, you will be able to send an SMS to that number so that you can get some clarity on that one. So on to higher education now. NSFAS has asked that there can be please a delay in opening up applications for 2025 for the following year. And they said the reason they're doing this is because they wanted to engage other stakeholders. On the line with us is a South African Union of Students spokesperson, Asive Dlanjwa. Thank you so much again for making time for us, Mr. Dlanjwa. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, Pamela, and also to your listeners, and thank you for having us.
Did you go through the consultation process, and how did you feel about it?
We did have a consultation process. The minister, her team, and NSFAS. We are cautiously optimistic, Pamela, to the extent that the minister was willing to halt the applications when we raised an objection, or rather concerns, that the system that they're going live with, they have not brought us into confidence as to not just the credibility of that system, but its ability to be able to reach all students across the country, and to the extent to which it will be accessible and user-friendly. So they responded through the postponement and having and engaged with us. So purely based on that alone, I mean, we welcome the decision by the minister to have been postponed and engaged us. So the engagement, as I said, I mean, the success thereof is relative. And as I say, we're cautiously optimistic, and we will only really be able to determine where the success of those engagements when the applications go live, number one. Number two, there are many outstanding issues with which some of them could not deal with. Mm. They have been given a few time frames. So to the extent which they deliver on those, I suppose then the engagements would have proved fruitful.
So let's talk a little bit about and go deeper into some of the issues that you raise when you said the user friendliness of the platform. Just maybe give us an example.
Okay, so the first one is the system itself. They were logging on, so there were a lot of applications that would. At one point, I think it had been almost. About 170,000 applications, if I'm not making a mistake, from last year, that could not be processed because of errors that were made. But the errors were clearly, when we saw the trend and having engaged some of the students, and they would come to us to inquire the applications, then we check the ID numbers, we call NSFAS, or we go to NSFAS and we find out they're part of that category. It became clear that in the process of filling out the form, for instance, let me just give you one small example. Mm-hmm. So previously, there were two steps to it, but it was not clear to the students. You firstly created a profile, then you applied.
Yes.
So students, when they created the profile,
they thought it was finished.
And it was successful. They assumed they had applied.
Got you.
So when we go back to check, NSFAS says, no, this student only created a profile. They never applied.
And that was the issue you guys had last year, if I remember correctly, where they kept saying you have not completed the process of application.
Yes. And then another practical one, which this one, I mean, easily over 400,000 students. In fact, I might even be economic with that number because, yeah, it should have been over 50% of the all applicants. They were required to submit a SARS verification document. But the SARS verification document was not on the system. When they put on the system, they put different documents, students, sometimes, so they do not even know what it looks like. And so many applications were affected by that. In fact, hundreds and thousands of students' funding was delayed beginning of this year because of that verification document. But now, when you apply, there's a pop-up for that document where you can download it exactly where it needs to be submitted on the application. So the student can download it from the application, fill it out, and submit it within the same application. So that's one small issue, system improvement, but it'll assist many students because some of them ended up submitting wrong documents. So it's things like that that we're speaking about. Another one, I mean, it might seem insignificant to me and you who can read, but actually the filling out of an address. So the NSFAS used to speak of street numbers, and the application wouldn't go through without a street number. It was compulsory. But now, not like me, where you come from, there's no street number. It seems, it might seem insignificant to some listeners, but it was a huge issue.
Yes,
and the
course.
Reality is that the majority of beneficiaries and people that NSFAS should cater for actually live in the rural areas, in the townships, where there's lack of information and where their literacy levels might not necessarily be to the level of those that live in urban. So it's small things like that, language setup, etc. That we, well, it's not a small thing, they're major things, but as I said, it affected hundreds and thousands of students that we're trying to deal with.
So do you get the sense that by Friday, what's the process going forward? Are you going to review it again before the application process is open?
No, we reviewed it. I mean, our last meeting was Sunday. We spent the whole day on Sunday with the team, NSFAS team and the minister, making systems changes, testing out the system, using actual ID numbers. We still picked up a few problems, which I believe by now they should be sorted, as I said. That last meeting was on Sunday. So as things stand, because the commitment we had made and agreement we had made was that by the time the minister has a press briefing on Monday, those small issues that still lingered after the meeting we had, that they would have been sorted out. So we have no reason to believe that those things won't be sorted out by the time the system goes online. But obviously we'll carry on to engage and track that very closely. So that if there are any issues, we deal with it. Fortunately, or unfortunately, is that students don't history teaches us that in most cases, students don't apply in majority in the beginning. So if we do pick up any hiccups, in the first week, 98% of applicants would have not begun their process probably in the first 2 weeks since going live. So I think that will give us some time to deal if there are any issues to deal to ensure that NSFAS sorts those out. We've also said to NSFAS, the minister has committed that along with the opening of the applications, they must send physical boots on the ground across the country to track it so that they also get real-time feedback from students over and above what we present to them. But their staff must be on the ground so that they're also able to pick up some of those hiccups.
Okay, so we are all, I suppose you said, cautiously optimistic that Friday the application process will be open. Or let's do it this way. By that time, maybe let's give it maybe a week or two, we'll probably speak to you again to get a sense of how you feel about the application now being underway, the application process being open. So maybe let's give it maybe a week or two, and then we'll get some feedback from you. How's that?
Absolutely. And I also think it'll also be valuable to some of your listeners, so that if we've picked up any things that we think that the public should know in terms of to make the experience any easier, if it's possible, that opportunity would be great.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. South African Union of Students spokesperson Asive Tlandjwa, who just giving us a sense of what it is that they got to experience when they were reviewing the application system process. This is obviously an NSFAS application system, and so it has been remodeled a little bit. There have been some changes. The department asked that the application process be at least delayed a little bit so that they can get some feedback from some stakeholders. We thought we'd speak to the students themselves, who've had many, many questions and raised many, many concerns before about the process. And so they did get an opportunity to assess it a little bit. They are saying they're cautiously optimistic. We'll give it about a week or two, and then we'll get them back. So the process itself, the application process, will be officially open on Friday. We'll give it about a week or two. What I would like is, if you yourself are going to be applying through NSFAS and you have problems, you too must give us a call, send us a voice note, and send us a little text so that we can try and follow up on that as well. So we'll give it about 2 weeks so that we can ask the relevant people if they're aware of these glitches and how we can get everybody assistance.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.